All right, Tina Piper is spokesperson for the IRSP in Donegal. Good morning to you, Tina. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me. I'd just like to highlight the bus stop that's in Letterkenny near Mr. Chippy's roundabout.
Yeah.
This bus stop is just not fit for anybody, and it's not fit for purpose anymore, and it's becoming quite dangerous, quite frankly. Far too many people at the end of the day are standing there between 5 and 5.45pm all trying to get a bus in cold and wet, damp conditions. It's really not fair to people. And some of these people are elderly and disabled.
What kind of stories are you hearing, Tina?
Oh, many of them will tell you that they don't like to stand there because they're cold. The ignorance of some people at the bus stops can be quite rude. And it's just, they just want to get home, get their day done, and then, you know, get home. Some people might have to travel nearly an hour to get home. And these young students will have to do all their homework and everything else. It's tiring for them all.
And I think most people would agree that Letterkenny does need a bus depot, a bus station, something that's a little bit more organised and has greater access, more cover.
Yes. Yeah, more cover. But see, it's not even just about the people. When the buses pull in, then sometimes they could be two and three abreast of each other, and that has to pull into the main road, which then it becomes a problem for the rest of the traffic who are stuck behind all these buses, especially if last Friday this happened. An ambulance was trying to get through on an emergency call. Everybody was going everywhere. It was so dangerous to watch.
Yeah, I just wonder if there's another similarly sized town in Ireland that has this type of facility. I can't imagine there are too many of them.
No, but you see, the population is growing as well. Sometimes there's not even enough rooms to get everybody on the bus, and so they're squashing it. It's like, do you know when you let the cows out at the field in the springtime? This is what it looks like when the bus pulls up. Yeah. You know, they rush for the door. Old people have been knocked down, and quite frankly, I have lost my temper a few times at the bus stop. I'm sure many people will remember me, but it's dangerous. It's not fair for them. You know, there was talk of a bus station, but I don't know if anything's been seen.
Well, often these things end up going into broader plans for things, you know, and rather than something immediate being done, and there are obvious locations where you could develop a transport hub that could probably feed into the new planned town bus and all that kind of stuff, but everything gets grouped in and the status quo remains. But listen, Tina, we appreciate your input. We'll see what others say, and we'll see what have there been any plans to advance a bus station in Letterkenny. But for now, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much as well.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Tina Piper there. I want to mention that Lagan Health and Wellbeing, their host... Oh, that's actually gone. Yeah, that's... No, it's the third. It's here. Sorry, it's happening. I thought it says... I forgot what month I was in. It's the 3rd of October, so let me start that again. Lagan Health and Wellbeing are hosting an event at the 3rd of October. It's between 10:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. It's in the Columban Hall, Newtown, Cunningham. There's going to be information stands, foot massage, blood pressure checks, DEXA scanning, PHN service, diabetes service, CDM hub, integration care for older people, messy play, toddlers, preschools, refreshments and much more. So that sounds like a good day out, a good informative day out, backed by the HSC as well. So that's the Lagan Health and Wellbeing event. It's on the 3rd of October, if that suits you, the day after tomorrow. And it's in the Columban Hall, Newtown, Cunningham, and it runs from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Right, okay. And I want to mention as well that my old, well, it's not my old GA club, but it's certainly the club I used to play for, Neave Breed. There are a series of fundraisers taking place as they continue to develop their facilities just between Lahey and Ballintra. And on Friday night, there is quite a unique event. It's actually taking place on the Donegal Bay Water Bus. It's Showtime, which features loads of fun and games and great music, including Who Wants to Be a Thousandaire, so a chance to win big there as well. It is boarding at 5:30 and sailing and show follows at 6 o'clock. I believe there's a bar there as well. You can buy your tickets from Neave Breed. Just go to Neave Breed. clubsapp.com. You'll see a link for it. That's this Friday evening, boarding at 5:30. It's a fun music and games. It's showtime, and that is on the Donegal Bay Water Bus, as I say, which includes the sailing. Boarding at 5:30, and they set sail and have the fun from 6, and all proceeds go towards Derry Girls. So maybe you're heading down to Donegal Town for the weekend and you want something to start off your Friday night, something with a bit of difference, or maybe you're in the area and you want to go and support Niamh Breege. All proceeds go towards Derry Girls. It's part of a larger fundraiser as part of the Niamh Breege Oscars, and they're doing great things, as many, many clubs are around the county, doing great things to try and progress facilities and what have you and encourage participation. So that's boarding at 5:30, the Donegal Town Water Bus, an evening of fun, music and games, and your chance to win and support that club as well. The council says to the listener, we'll never go around checking what people are burning. We live in a small area where everyone knows everyone. People don't like to make others uncomfortable. I wouldn't rule it out. If you get two or three neighbours who are compliant or have new houses that don't have chimneys, as many new houses don't, and there's someone next door constantly pumping smoke out of their chimney, I wouldn't rule out people saying, reporting them to the council. Honestly, even in rural areas, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think it's going to happen this year or next, but I think it's certainly coming down the line. Rename tags in Letterkenny Hospital. If anyone has nothing to hide, they won't worry about name tags. But people have their private life to hide. And this is born from some concerns from hospital staff that their full names are on their tags, and then people can search them on Facebook or Instagram. That being said, again, there is a, I think there is a responsibility, and teachers know all about this. There is a responsibility maybe to sort of withhold who can contact you or can find you on social media. And I know people should be able to live their lives the way they want to be, but there are certain jobs where that's a factor. But I'm told that people are being tracked down on social media because their full names are there and people recognise their faces, presumably, and messages are being sent. Very interested to speak to people in the hospital affected by this directly. I know you can't come on air because of the HSC rules, but certainly you can let us know the story. I didn't hear the whole segment, but seriously, given the council power to enter your home or property is just complete overreach. Even Garda need a warrant to search your home, so it's basically your home can be entered on environmental reasons. Imagine the implications of that. This is a step too far into your freedoms. People need to take a stand, and that's why this current government won't touch it. What about all the countries at war and the explosions that's happening there? Not a word about them. The environmental impacts of it, absolutely crazy what's going on. And the plumes of smoke and all. And we're talking about burning a bit of turf and wood. But anyway, there you go. I'm 66 years old, and as a farmer, I see no major change in the climate. We've had good and bad summers and winters. We've the greenest country in the world. Listen, I would always bow to your authority in that you've been on the planet longer than I. I think if we have another very wet summer next year, and certainly if we have another one thereafter, we're going to have to start talking about adjustment to our climate, whether it's climate change or the climate crisis or what have you. But I think we have we've had two, if we have three or four consecutive summers like that, we can't ignore that either. And I know there are trends, but I think that would be certainly worth noting. Hello, Greg. The proper information is, as from today, if anyone owns an XL bully or pit bull dog in Donegal, they must contact Donegal County Council, register their details at a fee of €120. Before doing this, they must have their dog chipped and licensed and neutered. I think it's important that people have the proper information. Thanks, Greg. If the dog warden comes across an unlicensed and unregistered dog as from today, they can seize it. I believe there's a bit of a run-in time, and I think the dog also has to be neutered. But I appreciate your clarification there. I think that's what we've been saying here. Listen, whatever is being introduced or not introduced, I think the question is do these regulations go far enough? But I appreciate you helping me there with the clarity. I pass people walking German Shepherds in town with no muzzle and on an extendable lead. They gotta drive past and do nothing. Surely it's not just up to a dog warden who mightn't work evenings. I'm not sure what the Garda rule is. Is it criminal matter, civil matter? I'm just really not quite sure. But that dog should be on a lead that is very strong, of a certain length, and also should be muzzled. Hi, Greg. As a school bus driver, I think something needs to be done about these hedges on the back roads where they are out to the middle of the road and the trees are part trimmer. Are laying over the road and have to cross over the wrong side of the road to pass them. Very dangerous, as if the job's not hard enough. The council was to ring me back 3 weeks ago. Thanks from Sean. Sean, I think at the moment, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think there might be a little bit of a standoff at the moment between homeowners and landowners and the council. The cutting of these hedges is the landowner's responsibility in most cases. I'm sure there might be some exceptions. But eventually the council, if there is a risk to life and limb, might go in and cut these hedges. I've been contacted by numerous bus drivers on numerous routes, and the problem seems to be running more into the school year than it does has in the past. So my suspicion is there might be a little bit of a standoff between the council and landowners. That being said, you know, and this is not an exaggeration, lives are being put at risk. Let us know of particular roads where the hedges are bad. If you're a bus driver and you're out there, let us know. I wouldn't mind taking a note of where they are and coming back to it in a week or so to see if these dangers are being taken seriously. So if you want to tell us about overgrown hedges in your area or, in fact, on your route, particularly with kids on board and all the safety measures that have to be applied within the bus, I think it's only fair that the conditions outside the bus, i.e. the roads, are safe. So if you are a bus driver or you are out on the roads and there's a particular issue with overgrown hedges, please let me know. Because I did make some representation to councillors on this issue on behalf of some people and was told, well, this is a landowner's issue. So I think there's a bit of a standoff going on here. Right, OK, we were down at the Donegal Town Rugby Football Club a little earlier on. They're coming in to prepare the ground, put out the cones and what have you for underage sports, and there's dog caca all over the pitch. I don't think it's exclusive to that pitch, and it certainly isn't, because we're going to Moville now, to John Gillan, who's chair of Moville Celtic. John, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Right, so what's the story in your area? I mean, obviously, firstly, we were talking about dog poo. I think we're more talking about, are we rubbish, or maybe it's a combination of the two. What do you want to tell us about, John?
It'd be a combination of the two. We have a groundsman there that does a lot of work, and we have a lot of children that go through the pitches, plays football every day of the week, and for the dog fouling on the pitch, it's just like, it's ridiculous. Like, there's a sign there that says no dogs allowed, which is up. There is a bin there, even if they would get rid of it themselves, but to leave it lying on the pitch, and then, as I say, kids to be playing, slipping on it, dragging it under cars, maybe getting it under their eyes. It's
horrendous, isn't it? I know this has been mentioned on your Facebook before, but has it worsened? Is this a problem that's worsening, John, or is it ongoing at the same level?
It's just ongoing at the same level. Yeah. Like, as I say, our groundsman puts a lot of work on this, our committee members, everybody, coaches, but they run around. Say if you're a coach, you're going down to set up a session for Wayne's to train, and then you have to go over and pick up after somebody else's dog before training starts. It's hard to take at times.
No, and one shouldn't have. You shouldn't have to do it, picking up another person's dog poo. But as you quite rightly pointed out, there's the mess and there is the risk to children's sight. And this is also a community resource. So they're crapping on the community resource and the volunteers that work within it as well. It's really disrespectful. And maybe that's the message that needs to get across. Stop disrespecting others and a community resource like this fantastic, like the fantastic resource Moville Celtic is.
Yeah, as I said, look, this resource is down at the water, the Bay Field. It's been there for, I don't know how many years. It's a great, great place, like, but for that to happen and just to not have the decency to pick up after your own dog. Like, we have a lovely shore walk in Moville. The dogs are allowed to go and obviously to pick up after them. But to go down onto our grounds that we try to keep as well as we can and let it happen, it just needs to stop.
And it probably is a small group of irresponsible dog owners. This is not happening right across the community, I'd imagine, John.
No, it isn't. Like, as I say, over their shore walk and all, there is a few, definitely, but it's not hard to pick up after your dog. If you buy a dog and you look after it, it's not hard to pick up after it.
Yeah, I would hate to think that there are people that don't care about, particularly the young ones, you know, trampling through this, getting it potentially into their eyes and the dangers of that. We just hope that eventually that this message gets through and people realise this is not an open green space to exercise your dog and for it to wee and crap wherever it wants to. This is a community facility with signs up saying no dogs allowed. And if your dog happens to stray into the pitch, There is actually even a bin for people to dispose of it. So there's no excuse for it, John.
No, none at all, Greg. Like, as we say, it's not hard to pick up after your own dog. Like.
Yeah. All right, John, listen, and simply...
Sorry, Greg.
Yes, go ahead, John.
Could I just... I know it's on a different matter. Could I give that a wee plug to the club?
Of course you can. Take your time, go ahead, plug away.
We have a dinner dance coming up to celebrate over 120 years.
Right.
It's on Friday, the 1st of November, in the Red Castle Hotel. And tickets are available through the club. If you can contact in Messenger or myself or any committee member. And
beautiful setting, beautiful setting. The food's going to be beautiful. We know that as well. What's the entertainment like? Have you got that in front of you?
Yeah, we have a Hatman playing, disco after. We'll also have piles of old photos, old videos going up, hopefully more memorabilia. And as I say, it's celebrating over 120 years of the club.
Brilliant. So current members, previous members, a great night out for them as well. A bit of nostalgia there by the sounds of things, John.
Yeah, definitely. The only thing, there's no dogs allowed. So hopefully everybody turns out and leaves their dogs at home.
Well, hopefully you don't, once the disco starts, you don't make a mess mess on the dance floor dancing. And when I say that, I mean the moves. I don't mean anything coming out of you, right? I mean the moves. John, where can people get tickets?
We can get tickets through the club. If you go on our Facebook page, you'll see your contact details, and also any committee members. Everybody around the town knows
brilliant.
Us all. So
sounds like a great night out to start off November, John. Listen, well done to you, and best of luck with that. And remind me a little bit closer to the time, and I'll read out another plug for it. All right, John, cheers, buddy.
That's great, Greg. Thanks very much.
Take care of yourself. Thanks so very much indeed. We're going to be going back to the issue of XL bullies, or dangerous dogs in inverted commas, certain breeds, let's put it like that, after this quick break. Let's go to Councillor Dakota Nick Venman, who's talking about, well, I suppose following on maybe from comments from Councillor Michael McClafferty. Dakota, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Right, okay, so do you take issue with something Michael said?
Well, I don't agree with the point that you have to live in a certain area to have a certain dog. I think that's a bit ridiculous. Of course, some dogs have more energy needs than other dogs, but to say that you have to be living in the countryside, a bit of a stretch. Any dog can live in a town. There's absolutely no problem with that, I don't think.
Yeah, and I suppose living in a town versus the countryside, it depends on the owner as to how much exercise that dog gets in either setting.
Yeah, and sure, even like, if you're living in the countryside, then you have other animals too, like sheep and whatnot, that you have to be aware of too. Like, there's other things at play as well. It's not just whether you're in a town or countryside with your dog.
I mean, obviously, a lot of these dogs are bred for human pleasure. They're not natural. You know, pugs would be amongst them. I mean, we've overbred them to the point that they actually can't breathe, but they're seen as attractive dogs to keep. They're not dangerous, of course. But you believe that the breeding and perhaps lack of regulation in breeding is a big part of the problem here.
Yeah, that definitely is the problem. The XL bully isn't a real breed, really and truly. It's not recognised as a real breed. It is a hybrid of a mix of crossbreeding that has gone on for years, and it's newly formed as new breed, but it is just a hybrid. There's no proper defining characteristics of an XL bully. You go on the government's website, they'll tell you, oh, it has to be 19 inches height, whatever, but a lot of other dogs that look like XL bullies, like Staffies or Pitbulls, the same height as that, and they have somewhat of the same build. Even you go on the Gov website and you look at the three photos that they have up as examples of XL bullies, they're not XL bullies, not one of them. Maybe the last one you might argue is, but the other two 100% aren't XL bullies. And it's just complete lack of regulation, and there's just no humane or evidence-based approach going on here at all.
So what do you think we should be doing?
Well, the ban is completely unfair. Like, we need to take a humane and evidence-based resolution. We need to look at the backyard breeding that is going on in this hybrid breeding. Having a ban on one dog, it just doesn't work. We've seen that in the UK. It's not working. Loads of dogs are getting dumped everywhere. And one ban leads to another dog to be banned. What's stopping that then? To ban in the whole list of restrictive breeds? And just, there needs to be proper education too on these breeds, proper training, telling people that like these dogs do need a muzzle, they do need a shorter lead, they're not to be on extendable leads.
Yeah, but none of those rules are generally adhered to. You know, I think if you go out and about Dakota, you will always see these dogs on these extendable leads. They very, very rarely have a muzzle on them. So even the current rules aren't being, and you know yourself from your work within the council, I think we're eventually going to have two dog wardens, you know, Monday to Friday, potentially, you know, 9 to 5. That's their hours. I'm not critical of them. But, you know, we're not really serious about enforcing the rules that we have currently, some might feel.
No, we're definitely not. Like, I can tell you an example from my own. Like, my dog's a Staffordshire Bull Terrier, so that's probably why I feel so passionate about this. But I was out walking her when she was only a young pup now at that stage, and we met a German Shepherd, which is another restrictive breed, was on an extendable lead, came round and bit my dog in the face. Now, it was no big deal to me, like, it happened, but it just, like, people aren't adhering to any, like, I had my dog on a shorter lead, but, like, they aren't adhering to these rules at all, and we don't have any enforcement, and that's what we need, and it's to ban the backyard breeding as well. It's the breeders that are at fault for this.
It's interesting, those, I just managed, while you were speaking there, to dig out these pictures that are from gov.ie that are representatives of XL bullies. It says these pictures are indicative of what an XL bully type looks like. A dog does not have to look exactly like this to conform to the standard above, which is about its bite, its coat, its forequarters, its hindquarters. I didn't realise actually this is so convoluted and incredibly hard to enforce. Who's going to make a call on what an ex-bully is?
Exactly. Like, I can tell you now, my Staffy, she looks quite similar to one of them dogs.
Yeah,
well.
I would say, and she probably looks like number two, does she?
Yeah.
And I'd
to think that
so.
Somebody could just, like a dog warden could come along and tell me, oh, no, that's an XL bully because she meets the height requirements, her face and her jaw looks a wee bit bigger. Like, it's heartbreaking. Like, it really is for owners. It's scary.
Yeah, and do you ever, I mean, there's an awful lot of talk of dogs, you know, we don't want dogs on beaches, we don't want dogs in parks, we don't want dogs here, there and everywhere. Is it becoming awkward being a dog owner now? In that it's almost
really,
like you're a cast out, or whatever that phrase is, outcast.
Yeah, it definitely is. It is definitely hard now. It was hard now, the beaches, that whenever them restrictions came in, certain hours and whatnot, and certain beaches. Definitely is harder to be a dog owner now. There is a lot of dog owners that aren't taking responsibility, that aren't lifting up after dogs, so it's understandable, but it's not every owner, and we can't all be blamed for that.
Mm.
Like, I've even proposed, like, with the Drumbo, this new park that they're building up in Drumbo, like, I proposed putting a dog park in there, so it was somewhere safe that dogs could go. Now, there's been no decision made on that, but that's something I've put forward.
Well, we were listening to chatting to a listener lot last week, actually, Dakota, who said they're not going back to the Drumbo walk that's there at the moment because the amount of dog poo on it, people aren't picking up after themselves. Again, I don't know what the percentage is, but I'd say it's 5%, maybe less, of dog owners that allow their dogs to crap anywhere. But it then sort of casts a shadow on you, who I'm sure you're a responsible dog owner. All of a sudden people think, well, is it Dakota's dog that's doing all this messing?
Yeah, exactly. And even, like, you'd be scared, like, at times you could be walking through the woods and you might see another dog's waste, and then you see someone walking towards you and you think, oh God, they're going to think that was my dog when it wasn't your dog. Like, and, like, yeah, it's hard for dog owners out there at the minute.
Yeah, no, I do be conscious of that, especially as we platform some of the complaints people have. But I do try and point out at every opportunity that we're talking about a minority here, that, you know, when we, the two pitches we've talked about, it literally could be the one dog that's doing all the messing on consecutive days leading up to the match on a Saturday or the training on a Saturday. And that's the reality of it. And there could be 1,000 dog owners in the area acting responsibly. So I do try and make that point. Okay, Dakota, thank you very much for your time. That's Councillor Dakota Nick-Venman there. Kieran's been holding. Thanks for your patience, Kieran. What's your view?
My view is, well, I'm in my 70s now. I've had dogs all my life. I prefer large dogs. I've never had a vicious dog, and any vicious dogs that I know, it was the fault of the person that owned them. When you take a dog on now, you have to know what it requires to look after it. There's no point in a border collie, an Alsatian, a Doberman, a Rottweiler. you can't have them locked up for 12 and 16 hours a day in a backyard or a backyard. You are going to have problems with them. It's as simple as that. So I think really what we should be doing is what they do with these rehoming people. They come and inspect your premises and see if you're suitable to have a dog.
Yeah.
But I say I have never ever seen a vicious dog that was not down to the person that owned it. Dogs are not vicious animals. If they're looked at, like I have a collie at the moment, Bonnie. Bonnie's out 8 o'clock in the morning for a pee. She's out 10 o'clock at night. But yeah, apart from that, she's walked 3 times a day.
So
just, you know, and she loves it.
Do you think then we don't want to take on policing dog ownership, so we'll just ban the dogs? Do you think that that's a lazy way of doing it?
Oh, that's a very lazy way of doing it, quite honestly. The man says, I would put some of the owners down before I put the dogs down.
Yeah.
Wow. Some owners are very cruel, you know.
All right.
Like I say, I'm a person, I prefer animals to people, to be quite honest, you know.
Okay. Many people do, Kieran, because it's truly unconditional love you get back from a dog, isn't it? And
what I was going to say there as well, and I do it all the time, I don't care who doesn't like it. If your dog poos on the street and you walk on, I'll stop you and tell you to go back and pick it up.
Have you done that?
If you say no, oh, I do it regularly.
If you say no.
Most of them will go back, or they'll say, I don't have any bags. Well, I carry bags with me all the time. I hand them a bag. But if they refuse to do it and they're driving, I take a registration and I report it to the local council. And I don't care who doesn't like it. I don't see why I should get a lot of hassle for looking after my dogs whenever you've got people who just don't care about their dog.
Right.
And also it brings me to another point about beaches. I would be the opposite, personally speaking. I think certain beaches, dogs should not be allowed on them at all. And
right.
Certain beaches as, you know, for dogs. My big problem with dogs on beaches and the poo not being picked up as young children, people flick the sand over the top of the poo so it can't be seen.
No worries.
You get young children playing in the sand. You can actually dig that up and put it in their face.
Mm. Yeah, true.
And that's basically me.
Okay. Listen, Kieran, thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Nice
bye.
To talk to you. And love to Bonnie.
Right, bye.
Okay, bye. Last mention of our quiz. It's in association with Green Shoes. They've got shops in Galway, Limerick, up here in the northwest, Falkara and Letterkenny. But anywhere where you are, greenshoes.com. We've a pair of Rikers to give away today. And last shout on this. We'll keep the lines open for another 5 minutes. We're going to give you the opening line of a song, and I want the name in the song. So the opening line of the song today is "I come home in the morning light," and the answer to that is text that, your name and address, to 086 60 25,000, or WhatsApp. It's up to you, whichever you prefer. And we'll draw a winner out before the end of the show, and someone's going to be stepping out in style in a pair of Rikers, and they're going to join Gloria, who yesterday won a beautiful pair of Dr. Martens, and tomorrow a pair of New Balance as well. Whoever did all this likes rock and hen party music. The list of songs for the rest of the week. Okay, get in quick and enter that. Right. We're joined on the programme now by the one and the only, Daniel O'Donnell. Good morning, Daniel.
Hello, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Sad news this week, wasn't it, with a legend in Kris Kristofferson passing away?
Absolutely.
But what a legacy to leave behind him. But still, it's always sad to learn this news. I suppose especially, Daniel, like someone like yourself in the music industry.
Well, certainly he's left a great, you know, legacy, as you said, behind him and his music. And I was thinking, you know, after I heard it, there's very few people who have any knowledge of music, or even maybe not even interested in music, that won't have known or heard a Kris Kristofferson song.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's not like, you know, you don't need to be following his music or even a fan of music to have heard Chris Christopherson songs. And there are just a number of people, you know, who that would, you know, that would apply to as far as music is concerned.
Yeah,
you know,
crossover music, isn't it, Daniel, whereby it just crosses genres. Yeah, brilliant. And too, actually a really good actor and won a Golden Globe, I think.
He was multi-talented, really, all of the things that he did. You know, it wasn't just the music. He did so much.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for a few words on his passing. Daniel, Opry Le Daniel is coming to TG Cahir, and it starts, excitingly, tonight.
It does, yes, it's starting tonight. We had a lovely time, you know, doing the show. We always enjoy the show. There's a great team behind Opry putting it together. And, you know, I've been involved now for a good number of years. And every year, you know, there's different, different artists, of course, some repeat artists. But this year we had a lot, you know, that had never been on before. I mean, Dana's on it. And it's incredible, I suppose, that, you know, Dana has been there forever. And yet she's never been on Opry. Frances Black was on. She's never been on, you know, of the well-known people. We had an Anor, who are just fantastic. I'm sure you're very aware of them, as people at home would be. But their star is rising, you know, amazingly, you know.
And it's an amazing platform for them. And you've got this amazing mix of, you know, established artists, legends of the music. And I'm particularly pleased to see Dana getting the platform that she deserves, because, and we're not going to get into it now, sometimes she's overlooked for one reason or another. So I'm delighted to see her platform, because she's incredibly popular and, of course, incredibly talented. Right, Dan?
Well,
go ahead. Sorry, Daniel.
No, just funny as you say that, on the night, you know, it's just amazing when you see somebody who has been in the music business for a long time, at the level that Dana, you know, has been involved. She just owned the stage for the period she was on. She owned the audience. It was quite something to be there to see her, you know. And it was lovely. I mean, I've known Dana for a long, long time, you know, through different things. And it was just lovely to have her on. And it's lovely to have the younger people on too, you know. Chrissy Mack was on, and Gavin Crubbin, and different people, you know, that are just getting themselves established. And that's a lovely part of Opry as well, to be able to give a platform to younger singers.
Yeah, and it crosses genres. I mean, obviously, you know, it's rooted perhaps in country, but it's not just country, as you've mentioned. You know, country is very influential and can be found in all different types of music. But even tonight, you've got a couple of great acts, very, very popular up this part of the world. Jimmy Buckley and Mike Denver, I think they're on stage tonight. And also Barbara Fairchild's flown in as well.
Barbara came in from America. I mean, I would have known Barbara in America, and I was delighted when Sally said that, you know, she was able to come and be part of the show. And I suppose the fact of it is that it spans all of the different, you know, generations of music, you know. And you have the established artists. We have Declan Ernie, and Declan has been involved longer than I have been involved in music. So you have all different decades of music represented.
And I think, and too, then, what, you know, they, sorry, go ahead, Daniel.
We have a gospel night, and they look at, you know, then they have that Celtic night where Anor was part of that, and that's, you know, Frances Black. It's just lovely to have all that, you know.
And I think what's really important, and what lends it well as a viewing spectacle, it's filmed in front of a live audience too, who were there specifically for the music. And I think that always adds to live performances in a music show when you've got an invested audience.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the audience, no matter what show you're at, whether it be TV or just, you know, a concert, the audience make the show, you know. And you know, this year was no exception. And, like, you know, when you look at Jimmy and Mike too, they have done so much in the Irish music, you know, scene. And it's lovely that, tonight is starting with them. And, I mean, I've known both of them for a good many years. I remember, like, Jimmy, you know, I was getting... This is just a story. I was getting my hair cut, a friend of mine, and I was down to Tipperary, and I was in Capelwhite getting my hair cut. And Jimmy Buckley came in to the hairdressers, the barbers. And, I mean, I didn't know him at the time. And he sang, I says, Jimmy, I says, you need to be on the road, you know. And then he, of course, he did. Mike Denver, I can remember Mike coming in to Ballina to the concert before he, you know, got on the road. And it's great to see how the people, you know, have taken to the music, you know, and to the different singers. And it's lovely to be able to go back to the beginning with somebody. I mean, of course, you know, the established people, you know, the older singers, I would have admired them as I was growing up. And I get the chance, you know, on different series to have a lot of them on, like Philomena and Margaret and Susan McCann.
Rowley Daniels as well, that, an amazing performer.
And Rowley was on one of the nights we're on the forum, and it was just fantastic, you know, to be a part of it. And I you know, the Big Mountain people that record, and Sally Diver and all that's involved, they do a terrific job. Jonathan Owens is in charge of the music, and it's just very well done. You know, there's no expense spared, you know, making the show the best it can be. Yeah. And it's a great tribute to the Irish country music scene. I know it extends beyond that when we're doing the shows, because we look at different types of music as well. But primarily, it's a country music show. And, you know, it's a great tribute, and it's great, you know, from the TG Carr point of view, that they have invested, you know, such interest in our music and in our performers here in Ireland.
Yeah, and it's actually a celebration of all of that. It's a celebration of celebration of our culture. It's a celebration of our music, and the people behind that who have entertained. Now we count some of them twice, but have entertained millions up and down the country, millions upon millions of people over the years. Really looking forward to it. Kicks off tonight on TG Cahir at 9:30 p.m. So get your popcorn out. And tonight, a fantastic show. Obviously, our very own Daniel O'Donnell hosting the show. And tonight is going to feature Jimmy Buckley and Mike Denver, and also Barbara Fairchild, and then other acts and more shows coming. And fair play, and I want to join with you actually in supporting the work that TG Cahir do, because when they do stuff, they don't do it by half. They throw the kitchen sink at it, and they do it on much limited resources than others might have access to, and they do amazing things in supporting in supporting shows that might not otherwise get an airing. So big round of applause to them as well.
No, Tiz, you're right. And you know, you'll see through the series, I mean, there's seven or eight shows that will be on. And I suppose the final show is a tribute to Dolly Parton. That'll take... that's going on around Christmas, you know. And Cleona Hagen and Barbara was involved in that. And it's just, as you say, a great celebration of music. And I know that a lot of people enjoy it. You know, they enjoy there's a great enjoyment got from our own singers here. You know, and I always say that, you know, we look, of course, we admire from afar, but we have as good here in Ireland in every area of music as you will get anywhere in the world. So, you know, start at your own door and walk. The journey is always easier when you start at your own door and you look ahead of you.
Yeah. And I love light entertainment, and we seem to have moved a little bit away from that. Just people up on stage entertaining. There always has to be an angle, and it's nice actually just to get a light entertainment show that you can sit down and enjoy. And that's what we've got to look forward to tonight on TG Cahir at 9:30. Daniel O'Donnell, as always.
Thanks so much.
Thank you,
Greg.
So very much.
God bless.
All right,
Bye-bye.
God bless. Take care of yourself. Paul McLaughlin, gardener at Ballachdar Garden Centre in Letterkenny. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hi, Greg.
On?
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So we are back in the garden. It's the last one of the season.
Mm-hmm.
What's the story? No, it doesn't belong going in. I don't have you on camera here. I've got Charlene Anderson from the Garda slot in here. I'm going to try and fix that. Yeah, so what should we be doing right about now?
Right about now, I suppose we're getting into the autumn time now. You can see the leaves already starting to change and stuff. So now is pretty much a good time to sort of take stock and tidy up a bit. And now as leaves are falling as well, sort of if you manage them as they fall, clean them up, say, every weekend or so. It's a good idea if you're looking after your lawn, particularly because if they lie in the lawn over the winter, they tend to grow moss.
Yeah, and if you try and blow them or scrape them thereafter, those underneath, they've got to embed themselves.
Once they get wet, they pretty much stick together, all right.
So, all right, so little and often. Little and often is the right way to do it.
Pretty much, and especially if you get a day-to-day. Like today, it's nice to get out and about because it's actually quite pleasant out there at the minute.
And as I mentioned, you know, the payoff, I suppose, for drier days is colder nights. So yes, we're going to see cold nights this week. And I suppose now any weather can happen from here on in, really, as we head further deeper into October.
Pretty much now you hear about all these storms in America and that, and you're nearly always guaranteed we'll get the tail end.
It's a pretty nasty one, potentially, you know, 7 to 10 days out.
Yeah.
Now, it's very early on at this point, but I'll be keeping a close eye on that if I had a trampoline.
Yes, pretty much. But now, from now on, really, you can sort of expect anything.
Yeah, okay. So, what can we be doing in the garden? Obviously, tidying up, taking stock. We've mentioned spring bulbs on a couple of occasions.
Yes.
And a final reminder as we end this season, you can have your colour coming up in spring. Plant them now. You might even forget you planted them and just see the fruits of your labour in spring.
Pretty much. It's funny, I've noticed this week even the garden centre that are actually much... People are getting more into bulbs now. It was probably a wee bit early and the weather was too good almost for people to be thinking about it. Yeah. So pretty much you have between now and then November to get them in. So you have plenty of time to still get at it.
Yeah, and you're a big fan of them. A lot of benefit, very little negative.
Absolutely. I pretty much nearly guaranteed to grow. So they are if you stick them in. And it's just that wee bit of early cheer whenever the springtime comes around, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And there's such a wide variety available now compared to what it used to be.
Yeah, because we mentioned last time, you know, daffodils obviously default, but you can get all different types of colour now and get creative with it as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And funny, even if you have like the backbone of it been daffodils, we splash a colour in through it. Actually has a real nice element to it.
Tidy up our beds. We can start tidying up anything that needs trimming or looks like it could do with trimming.
Yeah, pretty much anything's finished flowering, now you can trim it back. As this general rule of thumb, whenever you're trimming back shrubs, that one of the finished flower and give them a trim back.
And I suppose too, although we had a windy summer, we're more likely to see more consistent winds. So if you can lighten the load of whatever you might be trimming as well, it's going to be advantageous in that regard.
Absolutely, yeah, because if you have big heavy branches, they'll be more inclined to break.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be the time. When do you actually do your final pruning of the year? So you're talking about tidying up anything that's a bit scraggly at the moment, but your final pruning, when does that normally take place?
Sort of depends on the plant, if you know what I mean, but a lot of trees and stuff, you're better doing it in the winter because the leaves are off it and then you can actually see the framework of the plant almost. You can see it better, so you can sort of get the shape better when the leaves are off it, and you've obviously a lot less material to be carrying away too.
And in terms of your bedding, right? So the summer flowers pretty much have done their thing now. Do many people switch them out for winter ones?
Quite a few would. I would say probably like almost people put in almost 50% of what they would have had during the summer, if you know what I mean. Like the winter ones, people like them just to give a wee bit of sort of cheer through the winter, if you know what I mean. But you don't get the same sort of return from them as the summer stuff, so people wouldn't be as much out. But no, course, still, it's nice to have a couple even around the door, you know.
And you mentioned the leaves earlier on. Is there anything we can be using those leaves for that's useful for the garden?
Yes, you can make a product called leaf mould, which is basically a very rudimentary compost. What people do is you can see people getting almost like a ring of sheep wire and putting somewhere in a conspicuous place in the garden and fill it with leaves just. And over the course of the winter into next spring, they will actually compost down and become usable compost again, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So basically it's something for nothing.
Is it high value, high yield compost?
Oh, it is, absolutely. It's very good stuff.
Okay.
So it is a black gold, they call it.
Right, there you go. So don't waste that. Wildflower patches. You've a note here saying that now is the time to start thinking about that. What are we talking about there?
Yeah, it's pretty much the wildflowers very much over the last 4 or 5 years become real sort of fashionable, if you know what I mean, because you're sort of helping pollinators and everything, and it's actually looking really well at the minute. So in terms of wildflower patches, you can either sow them springtime or autumn time. But to get an earlier summer display, basically, you can actually, if you put them in now in the autumn time, you'll generally get a better success rate than you will in the springtime.
What about your veg patch? Is that done for the winter?
No, not particularly. Once again, the sort of season's coming around again. We're still harvesting away potatoes, tomatoes, stuff like that, you know, and even the carrots and that are ready now. But you can be sort of starting again and putting in your onions and garlic and stuff.
Okay.
From now on.
We'll get to some questions. There's another thing I want to speak to you about. We'll get to some questions, though, because I'm committed to listeners to get through as many as possible. How can I keep my houseplants alive while the heating will dry out the rooms in the house while also making sure they get enough sunlight.
Yes, suppose the only thing for that, through the winter time, people's sort of houseplant routine sort of slightly changes. You're supposed to reduce the water and be, say, 30 to 40% because the same level of heat isn't there. But a lot of houseplants are sort of more, they come from tropical areas. So it's that idea of the, like, a good bit of humidity. So generally get into the habit of watering them maybe twice a week, maybe once a week at this stage. Mm-hmm. And if you think they are drying a wee bit, if you get, like, you know, the hairdresser's bottle, give them a wee spray every so often.
I remember back in the day we used to have, you know, the old three-bar gas heater that used to be in the house. And it would dry the air out and it'd feel very uncomfortable. And what we used to do was put a bowl of water somewhere.
Yeah.
And that would evaporate and add moisture. I'm not sure if it actually did anything, but that's what it was done. I don't think it does,
because, well,
I wonder would that be useful for plants in a sunroom or something, maybe?
Quite possibly, because a lot of the time what we would do with that would be see Christmas trees, put them in people's houses, if you put a bowl of water behind
it. So there is logic to it.
As the water evaporates, it sort of increases the humidity. Right. So no, there definitely is logic to it.
I was cutting back my apple trees this week when I realised that one seems to be rotten on the inside. Will cutting it back help, or should I root it all out now and plant a new one?
Suppose that would kind of depend on the amount of rot that's in the tree. If you look at the shape of the tree, and if it's the main trunk, you would worry about it now. But if it's just a part of the growth, I would remove that part and maybe leave it to the spring.
All right.
To see what, just to give the tree the best chance of survival. But once again, maybe take photos and bring to your local garden centre. They'll be able to help.
Listener has their roses cut back. They're wondering, is it a good time now to put some feed on the roots, or do I just leave them alone until next year?
There's still a wee bit of growth, so putting a wee bit on wouldn't hurt. If you put a bit of organic stuff on at the minute, it wouldn't hurt, because it sort of only releases at a certain time. But you possibly would be wasting it. But generally, the time to feed roses would be sort of St. Patrick's Day, around 1st April, where they're starting to grow.
I have a few ash trees 40 to 50 years old dying back. You also have an ash over 100 years old, not affected. Should I cut them younger ones to save the old one?
It's quite possible. If you do see the ash die back on them, chances are their days are numbered anyway.
Yeah.
So cutting them back possibly now would be as good a time as any. They reckon with this disease going about that about 5% of the ash population will survive. So if that tree's not showing any sign of it, it may well be a good idea to actually cut it back and cut back the ones around it and hopefully give it the best chance of survival.
How can I cut back my hydrangea now, even though it's still in bloom, as it blooms in late summer? Also, how far back can I cut it? Thank you. Nolene.
In terms of cutting it back, you can cut it back quite hard. Hydrangeas, you can actually cut them back almost to the ground and they will come back, no bother. So they will. In terms of, there's two schools of thought in terms of cutting it back. Some people, for tidiness sake, want to cut the old blooms off it. Other people reckon it keeps the frost out of the crown of the plant, so they leave it on to the springtime. So it's kind of a matter of choice. I would tend generally to go with cutting them off in autumn time just for tidiness sake.
How would I take a cutting from a wild rose bush and re-root it? How will I cut it and plant it?
Yes, wild rose, generally what I cut, should be fairly easy to bring on from a cutting, if you know what I mean. There are two times a year you can do it. The autumn time, winter time, you can do it from what's known as a hardwood cutting. So you'd take about this time of year, take about a foot of the stem, ideally one that doesn't have a bloom on it, and generally what I cut, stick it into compost then. Take a good few. Whenever you're taking cuttings, the idea would be to take loads and stick them on.
I see
you're enjoying your apple.
What is it? It's delicious.
Oh, very nice, them actually.
Are they local?
Yes, absolutely. So they're not quite homegrown, but they're local now. But not lovely apples, them actually.
Very sweet.
Yes.
Very soft.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very nice. They're nearly ripening apples, so they are, so they're quite good in terms of, like, where some of them wouldn't be ready to almost Halloween. That particular variety actually ripens quite early. So it's very beneficial. It doesn't sort of follow the tree as much.
No, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, but in terms of the cutting, generally take pieces of about a foot off the plant of this year's growth, stick them into compost, and hopefully they'll root away. And if you don't miss out in the autumn time, springtime, just take a wee bit of, about 6 inches of the new growth.
That would make you want to plant an apple tree.
Yes, absolutely. Now, it really is hard to beat the local stuff.
What type of apple is that?
I am not 100% sure. So I'm not, it's just a tree you got growing there.
You just know it's not an orange.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, it's actually particularly nice, them ones.
A few interesting... few people interested in growing rhubarb. When is the best time to grow it, and what kind of soil do you need?
Funny, rhubarb is actually grown pretty much any soil around here will do the trick for rhubarb. Planted in autumn time's best, so you get a decent crop sort of in the summer coming, if you know what I mean. So generally plant it in any sort of soil, but give it a good feed, good bit of manure, because rhubarb is quite heavy plants. So either autumn or springtime, but I would nearly tend to plant it in the autumn.
You've rhubarb, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, the winner of today's competition is Donna Kelly from Carndonagh, and she correctly answered girls just want to have fun, and she's won a pair of Rikers. Well done to you, Donna. And we also had a winner yesterday who picked up a pair of Doc Martens. And we have another pair. It's New Balance tomorrow, which is all very exciting. In terms of the career, we'd only have a couple of minutes. I actually wouldn't mind coming on and talking about careers in horticultural or gardening with you separately.
Yeah.
We don't really have much time, but in a minute, there is a shortage of people with your expertise.
There's a horrendous shortage of gardeners of all sorts of qualifications, right up from... pretty much, but right, they're reckon across the board, they're 14% of a shortage. But even in terms of scientists growing on stuff, or scientists sort of evaluating plants to grow on stuff, right down to people actually gardening, if you know what I mean. But huge amount of courses out there, even in Highland at the minute, to see, I hear Caffrey advertising, yeah, which is
degree courses too.
Degree courses in it, and supposed to be a very good course, actually. I've been up in Greenmount a few times, I've never studied there, but definitely if you're looking for a career, thinking outside the place for you, it very much is a good career, and there are a huge amount of job opportunities there.
Brilliant, like, yeah, because when there is a shortage, that means there are opportunities, and yes, it's also experience you can travel with if you wish as well.
Absolutely, and in the next 5 years, they reckon a horrendous amount of like head gardeners and fancy places are retiring. Yeah, they're okay, all getting to retirement age.
So. Excellent stuff. All right, listen, we might talk about that in a bit more detail into the future. Paul, for now, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
I'm sure we're going to be speaking to you before spring, but for now, thank you so much, and thanks for answering so many questions throughout the course of the year. And thank you for listening today. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 9 o'clock, of course. Stay tuned. John Breslin's up around the Northwest after the news at 12.